surprise to anyone in this room. As we explore this month what it means to be a people of liberation, today we're looking at the personal side of it, our personal liberation from addictions, from prisons we might find ourselves in that keep us from doing what we want to do out in the world, whether that is the liberation of all peoples or the freedom in our personal relationships to be alive and present to our loved ones. Now, we are a healthy and beloved congregation with highly functioning staff and leaders and members. And some good news about alcoholism and drug addiction is that in the world at large, it has actually been declining slightly over the past decades. But it's here in the room today. A working definition I'll use is strong craving and continued use despite harm or injury. This harm and injury can include harm to interpersonal relationships, to your ability to work, to harm to one's own health, or to the health of others. This includes physical, emotional, and spiritual harm. So what about you? Statistics would say that there are some of you sitting here right now who struggle daily with alcohol or recreational or prescription drugs. I do know that some of you, and I'm included in this group as well, are today clean and sober from alcohol and drugs. So with tenderness in my heart, I know there are probably at least one or two of you here struggling daily and don't have this arrested or under control or managed. And I also know that many of us in the room have loved ones, family, friends, colleagues, who are in active struggle with drugs or alcohol. So let me see a show of hands if you're willing. Can you raise your hand if within your circle, yourself or those you love, others in your circle, are impacted by the disease of addiction to alcohol or drugs? Thank you. So what is addiction? It is that substance or behavior that we crave and that we continue despite negative consequences. Drugs and alcohol are the easy ones to see the consequences: driving while impaired, harming our loved ones, our partners, our parents, our progeny, through abusive and emotional inability to show up, inability to love well, inability to put another's well-being before our own, because when you are struggling with addiction, you become very, very selfish. And then the shame, that horrifying recognition of the damage that you're causing, but no ability to stop yourself. I'm no brain scientist, but a lot of progress has been made on what happens in our brain when we are addicted. We have this mesolimbic reward system that normally encourages humans to pursue evolutionarily beneficial activities, like having sex, like drinking water, like eating. We get pleasure from these activities. We get little hits of dopamine and natural opioids when we do things that our bodies like. Alcoholics Anonymous in 1939 published its basic text that said, "Alcoholics have a disease that is physical and mental and spiritual, and brain science has confirmed the physical aspect of addiction, which creates inordinately strong reactions that hijack the person and ruin their self-control over behaviors and actions." Brain science has also confirmed the physical nature of other addictive behaviors: gambling, overeating, sex and shopping and pornography, entertainment, technology, checking emails incessantly, Facebook or other social networking sites. There's actually a new diagnosis in the DSM-5 of internet gaming disorder. But how many of us struggle every day to extricate ourselves from an electronic screen? There's a continuum of behavior that ranges from hardly ever, moderate, heavy, abusive, before you land over here in addiction. And obviously, some addictions are more dangerous than others. So if someone is struggling with drugs or alcohol, there's a higher likelihood of being physically dangerous to others. So that means if you need help for alcoholism or drug addiction, get some help. Alcoholics Anonymous works for many. Medical management works for some. Not many people are able to stop on their own cold turkey. It is right to ask for help for yourself or for a loved one. And if you need help getting help, then talk to me after the service today. Now, there's a history of how we've looked at addictions. Up until the late 19th century, addiction to alcohol was seen as a lack of willpower and a reprehensible moral failing. Then Alcoholics Anonymous published their book in 1939 to great success, and the 12-step model of recovery took hold with the idea that alcoholism is a disease, a physical and mental and spiritual disease that can never be cured, but it can be arrested by joining Alcoholics Anonymous and working through the 12 steps. AA is fundamentally a spiritual program, and working through the 12 steps provides that spiritual solution. It's also a very practical program, and it doesn't try to provide the answer for why. Why do some people get addicted and others do not? But there is another school of thought about the why of addiction, why it is so prevalent, and why there are so many behaviors that are addictive. It comes out of laboratory experiments with rats in the 60s and 70s and 80s, studying drug addiction. So when given the choice, the rat in an isolated cage, the rat isolated in a cage with access to two water bottles would choose the one laced with drugs and not the simple pure water. And they would continue to choose the drugged water to the point of killing themselves from malnutrition. They easily became addicted, and this research promoted the common notion that the drugs themselves were what is addicting. However, when the isolation of the rats was questioned, another experiment was set up by creating a more social environment, since rats are naturally very social creatures. So the environment was designed to provide an ideal rat environment with lots of social activities, opportunities, lots of rat friends, lots of available activities like climbing and hiding and exercising. They called it Rat Park. And the researchers discovered that the happy rats didn't choose the water laced with drugs. They chose pure water. They chose relationship and community over the drugs. Even if they had come from isolation after 2 months of physical addiction, once they got to Rat Park, the ideal community, they stopped using the drugs. One of the researchers, Bruce Alexander, has since devoted his life scholarship to addiction, and he published a book in 2008 titled The Globalization of Addiction, A Study in Poverty of the Spirit. He says, "Global society is drowning in addiction to drug use and 1,000 other habits. This is because people around the world, rich and poor alike, are being torn from the close ties to family and culture and traditional spirituality that constituted the normal fabric of life in pre-modern times. This kind of global society subjects people to unrelenting pressures towards individualism and competition, dislocating them from social life. People adapt to this dislocation by concocting the best substitutes they can for sustaining social, cultural, and spiritual wholeness. And addiction provides this substitute for more and more of us." Dr. Alexander looked especially at colonizing cultures and the native peoples they dislocated, recognizing the fractured nature of modern life as addictions continue to show up in new ways every day. His work, as well as Philip Flores, who wrote the book Addiction as an Attachment Disorder, both point to why Alcoholics Anonymous and its 12-step program have been so successful. Because AA is a phenomenal community. I heard a local substance abuse expert say that he used to think with disdain of AA as the college you never graduated from. But after reading the book, Addiction as an Attachment Disorder, he said the AA program made perfect sense. The book reviews the history of attachment theory and that people with addictions have problems being able to self-regulate, self-soothe, because they didn't get that in their younger years. So to repair the attachment, you go to 12-step groups with their great fellowship, and that helps to repair the self. Both Flores and Alexander point to healing in community as the most effective response to addiction and addictive behavior. So we are here in community. And we are all broken in some ways. And it is the human connection that heals. I have not seen research about Unitarian Universalists and addiction. And I know we have a healthy community. And I also know that some of us here struggle with addiction. Or we know and love people who do. So there is not one answer for everybody. Isn't that the way it always is with us? And sometimes we will struggle throughout our lives and never get it quite right. I obviously eat a little more than I need to. And I was so aware of it while I was working on this service about addiction. But it's better than shooting drugs into my arm. And none of us, certainly none of us, ever get to perfection. So we need great forgiveness always for ourselves and others. The key here is the human connection we have available to us here in Beloved Community, our faith community. Unitarian Universalists do have an addictions ministry team, and the Church of the Larger Fellowship right now is offering a 4-session online course, Addiction as a Human Condition, Exploring Recovery as a Spiritual Practice. It actually starts this Wednesday, March 23rd. It says, the class blurb says, because we live in an addiction culture and we all have personal addictive behaviors, small or large, and in some way everyone is affected by addiction, this class is for everyone. The UUA Addictions Ministry team grew out of the work of the Reverend Dennis Meacham, author of the Skinner House book, The Addictions Ministry Handbook, A Guide for Faith Communities. And the Pacific Northwest District website, Addictions Ministry Group, has a really comprehensive series of covenant group plans for addictions ministry. When we self-medicate in the numerous ways that addiction as a human condition presents itself, we are unable to be with ourselves. We are unable to love as deeply as we want to, and we're unable to feel loved as much as we are. We are unable to fulfill our true potential, and we are much less likely to be able to make a constructive impact on the world. We all need great forgiveness for ourselves and for others. Rumi reminds us of that, that we've broken our vows 1,000 times. Come, yet again, come. Return to community. Come, yet again. We still love you. We want you back amongst us. So as we are exploring ourselves as a people of liberation, we've talked about the personal prison of addiction, which is the opposite of liberation, how we can be addicted to behaviors as well as substances, that not every solution is the same for each person, how we heal best in community. So please know that your faith community supports you in personal liberation from any prisons you might find yourself in. From spiritual isolation, from addictive behaviors. Reverend Meacham writes, the conviction that underlies an addictions ministry is that a community of faith should be organized as a community of healing and growth towards life-affirming wholeness. That is what I want for each one of you, is that movement towards healing and life-affirming wholeness. May it be so for each one of us. Let us walk towards it together.